A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on November 6, 1988, entitled, The Communion of Saints, The Story Goes On. The scripture readings are Hebrews 10, verses 35 through 39, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, and 32 through 40, and chapter 12, verses 1 2 and 12 through 13. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
The writer of the letter to the Hebrews was a passionate pastor who had a heart for a people, a congregation that was almost slipping away, going down for the third time, dispirited, disheartened, despairing. And this pastor wrote a letter full of passion, full of urgings, full of urgency, because he cared so much. He loved this people so much. And he saw that this congregation was on the edge. They were in deep trouble. Their faith was faint. Their dedication was wearing thin. Their hope was almost gone. And so he wrote to them, and throughout this whole letter, you'll find him urging, pleading, beseeching, saying, strengthen the drooping arms and your feeble knees. Believe again. Hold fast. Hang in there. Hold on. Get on with the Christian life. And as he encouraged them to hold to the faith and to be steadfast in their service of the Lord, he recognized that they were in serious trouble. What was their trouble? Well, if you read the letter, there was a pinch of heresy. But then, every congregation has a pinch of heresy. You'd be amazed at what the person behind you believes. You'd turn around and say, what are you doing in this church? Heresy never killed the church. Well, maybe it was persecution. There was some of that. They had known some persecution in the past, and it looked as though there was some looming in the future. But as a matter of fact, persecution doesn't kill a church. It usually makes it stronger, galvanizes it to its noblest action. Well, maybe it was the lure of their former life. You can find that in the letter too. But as a matter of fact, what can the former life do in comparison with gathering in Jesus' name, taking the bread, taking the cup, a congregation that is together and that is worshiping and is fellowshipping and serving together? No, the former life wouldn't do it. There was a theological problem. They had believed, they had responded to the gospel, and they were living in the expectation of the imminent return of their Lord Jesus Christ. And they had just celebrated their 60th anniversary, and the cemetery behind the church was filling up. And when they gave that exultant cry of the first century, Maranatha, our Lord, come, it was catching in their throat, and it didn't have the buoyancy and the vitality of an earlier day. They were seriously wondering whether, well, maybe they should have stuck with Moses and the law, and the temple. Probably they were just plain tired. You ever been bone tired? When you're really tired, you can change your personality. Where before you would smile, now you snap. You've had all of this laid on you, and for years you've been able to carry the load, and then suddenly it seems as though you just can't take one more thing. Like the lady for whom they had a congratulatory dinner because she had taught the juniors for 50 years. And as Pete Tooney stood up to make the speech and make the presentation, she stopped him in mid-sentence and said, "Wait a minute." He said, "It was 50 years ago when there was a crisis in this church and the superintendent grabbed me and shoved me in the room with the juniors and shut the door and said he'd be back as soon as he could, and it's been 50 years. That's what we do to people. Work them to death. Work them until they're tired. You ever been tired? Just plain tired. Couldn't really take on one more thing. Needed some space, some time." Maybe that's really what it was. They were just tired. And they didn't know if they believed anymore. And they didn't know if there was anything to it. And they just sort of wanted to throw in the towel. This pastor won't let them quit. He loves them too much. He cares too much. And so he's filled with urgent pleadings for them to lay hold on the faith and once again to be faithful in the faith and service of Jesus Christ. He says to them, "My good people, look with whom we have to do. God, who in former days spoke to our fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by a Son, who is the expressed image of His glory, Jesus Christ, who made propitiation for our sins and then sat down at the right hand of the Father." That's with whom we have to do. This one who is from God and He can help us. But He's also like us. No letter in the New Testament has a more human Jesus than this letter, who speaks about Him as being like to His brethren in every respect. He says, "Look at this high priest. You can come to Him. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. He's walked where you walk. You can come to the throne of grace at any time and find help in every time of need. This Jesus, who is a more excellent sacrifice than all of that went before. This Jesus, who is offered once for all for the sin of the world and has been exalted to the right hand of God. This enthroned King, this is the one with whom you have to do. Now lift up your hearts. You are people who have faith. I know you have faith. I remember when your faith glowed brightly. Don't you remember? Don't you remember when you first believed? Don't you remember all you were willing to give up? Don't you remember how sacrifice was a pleasure? Don't you remember how faith glowed brightly and there was nothing you could not face, nothing you could not overcome? Oh, he says, you are people of faith. And you say, what is faith? Well, faith is the evidence of things you hope for. It's kind of the substance, the guarantee of things not yet seen. You say, well, make that a little more concrete. Sure, let me tell you. Let me tell you what faith is. It is by faith that we believe that the worlds were created by the Word of God. It is by faith that Abel made a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. It was by faith that Enoch walked with God and was not. It was by faith that Noah built an ark when the sun was shining. It was by faith that Moses left the splendor of Pharaoh's court and identified with the suffering of his people. It was by faith that Abraham left his home and his homeland and his family and went out to a place he knew not where at the behest of God. Faith is taking God at His word and acting on it. And he went on, he said, Abraham testified that he was looking for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker was God, that here he was just a pilgrim. Here he was an alien in a foreign land, moving toward a goal that was God. And what can I say more? He says, I could tell you of, David and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and all the saints, the roll call of history. But I said, I don't have time. But they lived heroically. And they died valiantly. And God honored their witness. Oh, he says, my people, listen, listen. Won't you believe again? Won't you come again to Jesus? Won't you return to your first love? What about us? Listen, all of those that I've mentioned, they're like a great cloud of witnesses gathered around us. Imagine if you can, if you've been to Rome, the Colosseum, whose grandeur can still be detected from its ruins. Or at least you've seen pictures of it. Imagine the great Colosseum, filled with spectators, witnesses, witnessing the events in the arena. The word for witness used in this text is exactly the same word as our word for martyr. The apostle writing this letter plays on that word. He says, look, all of these martyrs who witnessed to their faith through their life, and of whom God witnessed in their faithfulness, they are now witnesses of us. Friends, the torch is in our hands. It's our leg of the relay. It's up to us. And I want to tell you something. Look at them, all of them gathered around us. Their eyes are on us. Can't you hear them cheering? Can't you sense how they're pleading and yearning and encouraging us on? And I want you to know that apart from us, they'll never be perfect. Apart from us, they'll never come to rest. For God had something better in store. And apart from us, they're incomplete. It's not over. The communion of the saints is the connection between heaven and earth. And those who have gone before are in touch with us. Their eyes are on us. Their encouragement, their applause, their urging us on to faithfulness in the race that is set before us. We always say that we're responsible for the faith of the next generation, and we surely are. It's amazing to me from this passage that we're also responsible for the rest and the completion of the generation gone by. Those we've loved and lost a while. Those who've mentored us and modeled out for us the way of faith. Those we've loved and admired and stood in awe of. Those who are in the stands, in the bleachers. Those who are watching the action. Those who love us. Can't rest without us. They're saying, lift up your heart. Strengthen the drooping arms. Strengthen your feeble knees. Run with patience the race to which you've been set. And look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus, who for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God the Father. Remember the Lord Jesus reigning now. Remember all the eyes upon you. You're in the race. Now don't give up. Don't quit. Lift up your hearts. Keep your eye on Jesus. And run with patience the race in which you are engaged. Ah, you thought it was a 100-meter dash. Found out it's a marathon. It's long distance. It's tough. And you grow weary. But there are people counting on you. People counting on you. People who love you, who are waiting for you. And Jesus is waiting. And Jesus has opened the way. Jesus has come. Come. Come unto me. And to all of those who have blazed the trail before you, who are applauding you and encouraging you and praying for you. Isn't it great? Doesn't it give you goosebumps? This communion of the saints, this connection between heaven and earth, this marvelous intimacy with all those that we've loved and lost, knowing that we'll never be separated from the chain of the generations comprising the great parade until God brings all God's children home. Friend, sing that chorus. Sing it from the depth of your heart. And when the last line comes, here am I, here am I, here am I, let it be for you. Maybe the first time you've ever said yes to Jesus. Or maybe the 100th time. Throw off whatever is standing in your way. Whatever is encumbering you. Whatever sin besets you. Throw it off. Look to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Say, here am I.